The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
It's all over. We have a Stanley Cup champion, and it is the Florida Panthers for the second year in a row. Drew, we were wondering exactly how this was all going to turn out, and as it turned out, the best team won.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to put it. It was an amazing stat yesterday, an NHL record stat that I saw in this series. The Florida Panthers led the series for over 200 minutes, and the Edmonton Oilers only led for 33 minutes of the six games. So that says something. The bottom line is the goaltender was better for Florida. The defense were better for Florida. The top guys for Florida were better than Edmonton's top guys. And since game three on, it was all Florida Panthers.
It was really a clinic that they put on every single game that they played. And just so impressive the way that the Florida Panthers owned this team.
They really did. They played their game as far as they never, ever waver, Danny. You know, we talk a lot about identity. That identity is important. And identity is something where every guy can do it. Well, every guy can skate as fast as they can. Every guy can skate, can check. Every guy can make sure they get above the play. Every guy can play tough in front of their net. Florida does those little details. Paul Maurice talked about, the head coach of Florida, talked about the two-foot rule. The game is about you're missing, if you're 2 feet short here, or you're 2 feet short getting to the puck, or you're two feet short getting in front of the net. Those are the little details that Florida's never, never short on. And they were so impressive. Last night's game, the final game, was a game where Florida showed why they're the champs. They were the best team by far. They got out to the early lead. They had their big guys going and fighting through injuries and all the stuff that you have to do in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They were much better. And by halfway through the third period, the Edmonton Oilers were defeated. You could see it in their eyes on the bench. And, you know, you look at it, 3 years in a row getting to the Stanley Cup final is no easy thing. And the last 6 years, the Stanley Cup has gone through Florida. So you look at the being able to get there, to stay there, and to see what you can do when you're there and win the championship back-to-back. Amazing feat by the Florida Panthers.
Well, so many different ways to talk about this final game, but once again, the Edmonton Oilers were not able to do what their primary goal was for the game, and that was get off to a good start. Florida was just on their game right away, couple of chances early, and very quickly, it was 1-0 Florida.
Ekholm will swing it across to Bouchard, into the neutral zone, poked away, here's Reinhardt, heading in, gets around Ekholm in front of shot, he scores! Sam Reinhardt as he was being pulled down, he beats Skinner top shelf, and the Panthers strike first, here in game six, Sam Reinhardt with 15:24 to go, here in the opening frame, what a play!
Well, 4.5 minutes into the first period, Drew, and it's an unassisted goal, and the first of what would turn out to be an amazing four-goal performance by Sam Reinhardt. But, you know, that's the kind of thing, pouncing on opportunities, that's made Florida a champion all the way through.
They pressure, right? They don't give you time and space. Reinhardt was coming over to that puck that Bouchard had outside the blue line, and he fumbled it because of the pressure. And then Reinhardt took advantage, and two guys who the Edmonton Oilers were really depending on to be really good defensively in the last four games were not very good defensively, and Ekholm and Bouchard got burned on that one.
Well, right after that, it would be Matthew Tkachuk, who, as it turned out, was playing with quite an injury, getting a chance to put the puck in the net and give Florida a 2-0 lead in the first period.
Bouchard tries to cut in, gave it away at the Panthers' line. Luostarinen back the other way. Up the right side, Etu Luostarinen to the circle. Luostarinen hands it back. High slot, Tkachuk shot, he scores! Matthew the Yukon Shark let it rip from the high slot, and the Panthers have a 2-0 lead with 46.4 seconds to play here in the opening frame. What a feed from Louostarinen, and great patience from Etu Louostarinen to set up Matthew Tkachuk.
All of the role players getting involved and playing a major role. Of course, Matthew Tkachuk is much more than that. Just a drink stirrer for his team, a star player, and one of the major reasons why this Florida team has been in the final the last 3 years. But something was revealed right after. He was playing with, a torn adductor muscle?
Sports hernia and torn adductor muscle on the same side.
That's insane.
He credited the trainers and the medical staff for getting him on the ice. Paul Maurice said that they didn't expect him to be in the playoffs after the Four Nations. And the effort that he put in, especially getting up the ice on that play, again, turnover by Bouchard at the offensive blue line this time. And Tkachuk beats two guys up the ice for that open opportunity. And it was perfectly played by the Florida Panthers. Traffic at the net, traffic beside the net, pass back, drive deep, all those good things, and a good shot by Tkachuk. But for Matthew Tkachuk, that is about as tough as they come right there.
Now, that's what champions are made of. And, of course, after the game, he talked a lot, as you said, about the trainers.
He looks all the bad days, long trips, all the stuff. This just makes it all worth it. Like, it's lifting that cup. It's just insane. I don't know what to tell you guys. It's just the most special thing. Coming down here to Florida changed my life forever. And 3 finals, 2 championships. This is why... It's just more than why you play the game. This is what makes it all worth it. And it's so special. I just have so many people to thank. While I have this, I wouldn't be here without the trainers and the doctors and those people. And that's what makes this cup more special for me, is how hard it was just to be out there and to get to the point of playing. And I owe those guys. This cup, is because of them for me. And so lucky.
And when it was 2-0, and at that point, you look up in the stands and you see Brady Tkachuk, the captain of the Ottawa Senators, sitting there with his dad, Keith, and with his mom, Chantel, and his sister and everybody else up there in the Tkachuk contingent. And you could almost see on Brady's face, like, I want some of this too.
Danny, it's funny you say that, because watching that game last night, I said to my lovely wife, Michelle, when they showed Brady, I said, I wonder how much it tears at him. That one, yes, you love your brother, you love your family, you support them, they're very close, but also, man, I want to be there. I want to do that.
Well, it was 2-0 Florida after Matthew scored that goal, and it looked like Edmonton was going to try to get a push to make another one of their vaunted comebacks. But how about this? A big save by Sergei Bobrovsky that he made on Corey Perry, which I think was a big dagger as far as the Edmonton Oilers were concerned.
Louostarinen did clear the zone. Whack back the other way. Draisaitl, McDavid left side, cuts in through the circle in front of Cairns. Oh, what a save, Bobrovsky on Corey Perry. Sergei Bobrovsky in the full splits makes the save. The Panthers lead by a pair.
That was not the only big save that Bobrovsky made when it was 2-0. It was another chance for Jeff Skinner.
Nugent Hopkins, left side, Frederick. Now to Nugent Hopkins here on the near side out front. A chance, and Bobrovsky, a huge save that time on Jeff Skinner. And he keeps the Oilers off the board. The 17th save for Sergei Bobrovsky as he sealed things off at the near post.
So many different players for Florida were integral in winning this championship. You could talk about Barkov. You could talk about Bennett. You could talk about Marchand or Ekblad. But Bobrovsky maybe is the guy in the background, but maybe he deserves a little bit more credit for what happened here.
I think we get to a point, Danny, where it's not greatness fatigue, but we take it for granted as far as goaltenders or players that they're just great. And we see them do great things all the time. When we use the word great a lot in hockey, but we see these guys do amazing athletic things everywhere, all the time, on the ice, and it becomes a consistent part of their game and a consistent part of our broadcasts, and we start taking it for granted. I think we take for granted how wonderful Sergei Bobrovsky is in net. He is the biggest and best money goaltender right here, right now in the NHL.
He sure is, and I don't think anybody's complaining about his $10 million salary anymore.
Not anymore.
I haven't heard talk about that in about 2 years.
That's a pretty good point by you, my friend, because, boy, what used to be the talk that I got the big salary in Florida and he's just cruising now, he doesn't care. I guess we were all wrong about that.
Well, we sure were, and we sure were wrong about how great the Panthers were going to be against the Edmonton Oilers and how they could neutralize them so effectively. Sam Reinhart continued his push to make it 3-0 with his second goal of the game.
To the corner, Barkov, right wing side. Barkov to the trapezoid. Feeds it back for Verhaeghe, right side boards. Verhaeghe at the half wall. Turnaround shot off the chest protector, Skinner. The rebound, Barkov in front, it bounces, and they score! It went off Reinhart, and the Panthers take a 3-0 lead! It went off Reinhart in front. 2:29 to play in the second, and the Panthers lead game six by a trio.
So you combine those two saves that Bobrovsky made against Perry and against Jeff Skinner, and you throw in that goal late in the second period by Reinhart, and I'm amazed that Edmonton even came on the ice for the third period.
Yeah, exactly. A terrible play by Skinner. The puck comes to him, and he just shrugs the puck away, the first shot by Verhaeghe, with his blocker over to Barkov. Barkov gets it to the net. As Reinhart goes to the net, Darnell Nurse is asleep. He lets Reinhart get to the inside position. Should have boxed him out earlier, but it's just two relaxed moments, two easy moments, when Florida never takes a moment off in the game. And that's why that game went to 3-0.
Well, that's what Stuart Skinner said after the game. He basically said that Florida just kept on pushing, kept on moving forward, and they kept on coming.
I think, again, I think Florida just played a consistent game. That's honestly the end of the story. Like, they were just, they played the same way every single night. Nothing changed for them, win or lose. Bobrovsky lets in six or five. He's doing the same thing the next day. Their team isn't changing anything. And they just kept coming, kept coming, kept coming. And I thought we did that for the first two games. And then, we sort of just changed. And from there, we were kind of having some peaks and valleys, and they were just good old Florida Panthers.
That's the best way to put it, and give Stu Skinner a lot of credit to step out, win or lose, in front of the media. He was also asked about looking across the ice at Bobrovsky and trying to learn from him.
I sure hope so. It's my third year in the league. He's 36, obviously, been playing for 14 years. You can tell. Because he is, nothing changes for him. You know, you can tell mentally that he's in the same spot, whether he lets in six or he gets a shutout. I couldn't tell a difference from game one to the last 2 minutes when he knew that he won the Stanley Cup. He didn't change for 1 second. I would love to get in touch with him and ask him how I could fill his shoes and how I could, do that. Definitely hoping that's my trajectory, but, that's going to have to come from me, my hard work.
By the way, don't be surprised that doesn't happen at some point, because, these players sure do chat with each other and help each other, even though they may be opponents, especially goalies.
Yeah, especially goaltenders. Stuart Skinner's getting a lot of heat up here, Danny, in Canada. He's going to continue to get heat. So is Chris Knobloch for flipping goaltenders back and forth. Stuart Skinner, like he just said, his third year in the league, and he's been to two cup finals. He wasn't great in this series, but he wasn't the reason the Edmonton Oilers lost.
No, he wasn't.
The reason the Edmonton Oilers lost was because the Florida Panthers, as you said, to start this whole thing off, are a better hockey team.
That's it. And that's what Chris Knobloch said when he was asked about Skinner's roller coaster ride through the season after the game was over.
Credit to him. Credit to all the players. I thought they're very passionate, and they're very... their hearts were in it, and they wanted the team to have as much success as possible. And Stu was among them. And there's nothing that, I thought he gave a solid goaltending. And when he didn't, Pix came in and made up for that. And so we didn't lose this on Stu not playing on his game at all.
And Skinner agreed with you, Drew.
In my opinion, I think it was just consistency. I think that was honestly it. They played a consistent game. They didn't change once through the whole series. I felt like our game was up and down a little bit here and there. And, that's how they play. They play that game all year, and it goes into playoffs, and they stick to it. They do the exact same thing every night. In our game, we weren't as consistent as they were.
Well, they couldn't be as consistent, giving up five goals, and we haven't even gone through all the highlights yet, Drew, but looking at the final stat sheet, Evan Bouchard minus four, Draisaitl minus four, Perry minus four, and McDavid minus four. That says a lot about what was going on even strength.
Bouchard also with those two giveaways, the first two goals.
And four for the game for him.
Exactly. I'm not a big plus minus guy, but when your top players are dash four in a game, you've got a pretty good idea how that game turned out.
Well, you do. And at this point, it was a Florida lead. They were up in the game. It was amazing where they were. Florida was up 3-0. And then Sam Reinhart. Oh, by the way, before we even get to Sam Reinhart's third period, what about the fact that at this point, Chris Knobloch pulls the goalie with a lot of time left in the game?
7 minutes. Because he saw what his team was doing, which was absolutely nothing. They weren't able to really get any chances of note in the third period. It was Florida doing what Florida does, was locking things down, but they locked things down with aggression and pressure. And he looked at his bench, and there was a shot up here, Danny, on Sportsnet, about 11 minutes left in the game, and they showed the bench, and the bench for Florida, for Edmonton, was dead. Nobody was saying anything. Nobody was talking. They showed Connor and Leon beside each other. They had that 1,000-yard stare as if the future was looking in right at them, you know, and they knew what it was going to be. So Chris Knobloch tried something. He thought, let's try to get lucky. Let's see if we get an extra guy out there. I understand what he was thinking. It's an early pull, yes, but at the same time, nothing was going on for that team.
No, and nothing would continue as Reinhart would complete the hat trick with a shot into the empty net.
McDavid behind the net. Draisaitl stolen away. Ekblad, Forsling near side. Verhaeghe gives to Reinhart. And the puck poked away. Now Barkov to Verhaeghe. Now Barkov right side. Reinhart to the open net. He scores! It's a hat trick here in Game 6 for Sam Reinhart. He cashes in on the empty net. 4-0 Panthers with 6:34 to play in the third.
And all of those players involved in that goal, Reinhart scoring, assist to Barkov and Verhaeghe. They did it again just a short time later into the empty net.
Barkov to the corner for Reinhart, tapped on Ekblad to Verhaeghe. Now to Reinhart again to the empty net. Does it have the distance? It does! Four for Sam Reinhart. He scores to make it 5-0 Panthers. Another empty netter with 5:05 to play here in the third.
So what do you think Sam Reinhart's going to talk to his grandchildren about? Scoring four goals in a cup-clinching game. That's one to never forget, especially in front of the home crowd.
First off, on that play, Ekblad, Barkov making that play up off the boards. Verhaeghe with great support. Reinhart skating off the puck. They were so good with the puck in that situation. It was absolutely outstanding. Reinhart, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he score the game-clinching goal, series-clinching goal in last year in Game 7, if I remember correctly?
I can't remember. I believe he did.
Yeah, I think he did. So I think he'll have a lot to talk about. And this is a guy who came from the Buffalo Sabres.
I would have traded him. I'm telling you, I always liked him in Buffalo, and he's turned out to be a great player.
Great player. And just what Florida, I remember Paul Maurice talking to you and me about Florida and when he got there and how they were changing the culture. I remember him bringing up Reinhart, and we both kind of looked at each other, really, Reinhart? But my goodness me, what a player he has become.
Well, fantastic. Four goals for Sam Reinhart in the final game of the Stanley Cup. It was 5-0 in favor of Florida at that point. And you know what? Edmonton kept on pushing. They kept on trying to do something. And they finally would get one goal to solve Bobrovsky, but it really was anticlimactic.
Here's a drive by Walman into a deflected puck and shoveled home by Vasily Podkolzin. And it's 5-1 with 4:42 to go.
4:42 to go in the third period. That was Jack Michaels on that call. We're listening to Doug Plagans do all the Florida calls. But in this situation, you look at it, Podkolzin gets a pass from former Shark Jake Walman and also Connor Brown assisting on that one. But only 4 minutes and 42 seconds left in the third period. It was going to take an absolute miracle, and maybe they needed a major penalty like the Sharks got in Game 7 against Vegas. But they didn't get that, and they ran out of clock, basically. And that, you just got to credit Florida for just a brilliant game.
Well, Florida had that one weak little defensive zone play. After that, again, they took over the game. And the last four-plus minutes, it was all Florida Panthers. Edmonton didn't look like, Danny, like I said, from 11 minutes on, they didn't look like they believed. And from 7 minutes on, after Reinhart got his third goal and made it to 4-0, it was over.
Well, it turned out that Matthew Tkachuk got the game-winning goal because of that one goal scored by Pod Colson. And after right. the game, when he wins the Stanley Cup, somebody went up to Tkachuk and said, what about the fact that you got the game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup final? And here's what he said to that.
I don't care. Honestly. I don't care about personal stats. I don't care. Our team doesn't give a about that. That's what makes it a team. That's why we're lifting the Stanley Cup right now, because we're a team and not a bunch of
Well, they certainly were a team. After the game was over, I thought one of the most impressive things happened after Alexander Barkov got the Stanley Cup was who he handed it to and how that got passed around. I mean, Nate Schmidt got a hold of it. He had never won the cup, even though he had been there before. And then after that, all the guys who didn't play were the ones that were carrying the cup first. What'd you think of that?
All the new guys that came on, Schmidt, Jones, Vitek Vanacek, Nico, all the new guys, Greer, all those guys that were new to the organization, but meant so much to the team, got the cup first. So cool by the Florida Panthers. That's that team. Like Matthew Tkachuk just said, they don't give a crap about individuals. They care about the collective. And it was very, very cool to see.
And it was also pretty special for Brad Marchand, who won the Stanley Cup way, way back in 2011 when his assistant coach on the team was current Sharks assistant Doug Huda. All those years ago, he went to the Stanley Cup final in 2019. They lost, and he was asked after the game just to kind of what it all felt like after this. Brad Marchand talking about that postgame.
You know, we pictured these moments at home and losing at 19, and how upset everyone was, it was tough. But you know, we tried to do everything we could not to talk about it, not to jinx it, just to be in the moment. But when it's coming to a head and we knew we were going to win, I mean, seeing them up there, and how special it was for them and everything, it was pretty incredible.
How does it feel taking it the second time? Any different than the first time?
No, it feels completely different. I have so much more respect and appreciation for how difficult it was to get here and, how hard it is and the amount of things that need to go right to win. And, you know, so many people, like, there's so many great teams in the league and there's so much talk about this guy deserves it, that guy deserves it, and you want to see certain guys win, but everything has to line up perfectly, and my situation is a perfect example of that. Like, I shouldn't have been here, but it worked out, and I'm enjoying the hell of it.
Well, Brad Marchand was there, and he was there with an exclamation point, but he also talked about the fact that he was in the enemy just a few short months before.
It just shows you, like, once you become part of a group and, you get into this environment, when you're playing on the same team with each other, I mean, you create such an incredible bond. And they already had an unbelievable culture that we were able to kind of come into, and the new guys kind of come into and just buy in and enjoy it and embrace it. It made it very easy. So it was definitely weird coming in here initially, but they made it very easy.
That says a lot about the Panthers organization too, although it's not a surprise to you or I, Drew, because of the way that hockey is.
Yeah, it's a great sport. Sometimes a very lousy business, but as far as the sport, the game goes, it's a great game. And the Florida Panthers have shown now for 3 years, but the last two especially, is that it's about the collective. It's about the group. It's about the team. And they built a culture. And I'll bring it back to the Sharks. The Sharks are trying to build a culture of us. And it's hard. It takes time. The Florida Panthers, it took them a long time to get to this point, but they put the right people in charge, which I think the Sharks have done. They've drafted well. They have added well. They've got the right mindset to build. They've been patient and trying to build what the Florida Panthers have built. It's hard. You guys, boy, oh boy, oh boy, they've got some wonderful players and you get a little lucky here and there. But the one thing you can never, ever forget, that it's about everybody, not just about an individual or two or three guys. It's about every guy in the team, even the guys that aren't playing in that game.
Well, you have to feel for the Edmonton Oilers. And of course, Sharks fans know exactly what it feels like to lose the Stanley Cup. Although from San Jose's perspective, it happened on their home rink. At least in the Oilers' case, it happened on the road. Yet losing that last home game also leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. But Edmonton's proud of what they accomplished, getting back to the final when they were kind of an underdog, even against the LA Kings in the first round. But yet there's no silver lining for head coach Chris Knobloch.
No, there's no silver lining to this. It's still heart-wrenching. It's very difficult to handle right now. No, it's just because we were maybe the underdogs going into the LA series, underdogs against Vegas, Dallas series. It hurts right now, and I don't think it's going to let up for a while.
It's not going to let up for a while, I can tell you that. And Connor McDavid has certainly got to feel it, but he had to tip his hat to the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, they're a really good team. I said it many times already. Very deserving. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. They were really good. No? Yeah? You don't think?
No, I think so. And, of course, everybody thinks so now, but where do the Oilers go from here, Drew?
Oh, right now, they've got $12 million available in cap space. Cap's going to go up, and so they'll be able to figure that out. You've got several unrestricted free agents. You've got Bouchard, who's an RFA. Connor McDavid has to be extended July 1. He's going to be 14, 15. He's going to be max, whatever that is. There's the potential for them to have Bouchard, McDavid, Nurse, Draisaitl, take up half their cap, maybe over half their cap.
That's a tough situation.
Tough situation. If Connor wants to stay, maybe he looks and goes, I don't think we can get it done here. They're the oldest team in the league. And they had some, you know, when you look at the guys that they lost, in the, especially in that St. Louis Blues deal, and the guys that they brought in, as in Arvidsson and Skinner, Janmark, they weren't able to perform as well as the previous team did. So there's going to be big changes. Evander Kane would be a guy I don't think will be in Edmonton next year. I think
What about Stu Skinner? I don't know if he's going to be back either.
Well, he and Skinner and Pickard are both got one more year left and they become UFAs.
Right.
And so you're right. What are they going to do in goaltending? There's going to be a lot of changes, I think, with the Edmonton Oilers. And I would say there should be, but you've got to make changes if you still have gone back-to-back not being able to beat the Florida Panthers. You're going to have to make some changes. Where are they? I don't know, but also money's going to be coming into it.
Well, there will be for the Florida Panthers, too, as there's some unrestricted free agents on that side, which will be very interesting. The Conn Smythe Trophy winner, I think, was the right choice. Sam Bennett, who led the league in scoring all the way through, was really the big game changer throughout the playoffs, although you could make arguments for Marchand, certainly in the final. Reinhart with that final performance when he had to, and Bobrovsky, but really good performances by him. But yet, that's going to be an interesting change for Florida as well. Want to finish the show, Drew, with some sad news, and that is one of my first broadcast partners, Chris Collins, known to all of us as Slick, sadly passed away yesterday as we record this show. He's been battling bile duct cancer for the last number of months. A very devastating story for his wife Shannon and his kids who we all know so very well. He was quite a personality and he'll be missed.
He certainly will. I was still coaching when Slick came on. A fun guy to be around, always upbeat. Always had a lot of drive, was not only color commentator, he managed the China Sharks as well for the San Jose Sharks. A guy who loved the game, loved being around the team, did a great job with you, Danny. You guys were always so upbeat and had a ton of personality. Just devastating for his family, as you said, a wonderful, wonderful human being. And he was a He was a big acquisition for the Sharks. He did a lot of good work behind the scenes that he didn't get a lot of credit for, but it was never about him. He was always about the team with him as well, and feels just terrible for his family.
Yeah, he went all the way back to being a stick boy for the California Golden Seals when he was a kid, and worked with the San Francisco Shamrocks, the team that won the Pacific Hockey League Championship with Ethan Cardwell's grandfather on the team.
Yeah.
And, of course, was the number one rated disc jockey in Sacramento on FM 102 for a number of years, and obviously joined me and worked with me for 4 years. We will miss him. We dedicate the show to him. And on that note, we say so long for now.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.